Single. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I know. There were quite a few comments after that bold comment or statement. Oh, sorry, it was bold. Okay, because all I heard was bless you after that and receding hairlines or airlines. You know, stuff like that came my way after that, but I promise Casey that is the last joke. But yeah, my name is Enrico. Like Rian said, I'm part of the eldership team here serving you lovely people. Married to Lizette. Abraham's here in front. It's Abraham's, right? Yes. And then my daughters Zoe and Hannah as well, serving God together. But yeah, so this morning I have the privilege to share a bit on something that we've been able to experience in both the giving and receiving, and that is hospitality. All right? And if you'll allow me, lend me your ears so that we can work through not only what I believe God has for us, but what we see in the scriptures, just around what he says to us and how we should do it, but also how he exampled it, right, in his own way and also through his son Jesus. Yes? All right. So, Father, I thank you this morning for this opportunity to be able to speak. I ask, Lord, that in everything that I say here, that it would be honorable to you. That you would have your glory, Father, as it's due to you and you alone. I ask, Father, that as much as the voice that is coming is mine, but that it would be yours. And we ask, Lord, that as we, again, just sow these seeds, that it will find good soil, like Rian already prayed, and it will bear good fruit, Father God, so that not only us, but those that we are able to bless will be blessed in it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so... Why do we have to speak about hospitality? It's in the Bible. Yeah, be hospitable. Okay. The reason why we felt for us that we need to is that it's something that we believe we are all called to. Right? We are all called to in the Bible when we see it. It's also something that, as Josh Jenner's, if before you became part of us, is something that hopefully you would have experienced. And part of what it is that drew you into us. And then the idea with that is, as we experience it, and it's example to us, we want to live it. Right? What we found, though, is that, you know, from time to time, there's maybe a call for maybe, let's host somebody. There's somebody coming from abroad. Think about times like 412, gatherings, things like that, where the overwhelming response that we used to get has become less overwhelming. So this is not to knock us today. All right? It's something of, I think it was Kim that used it the first time I heard it. You have jugglers and you have those guys that balance plates on sticks. Yeah? You've seen that? So they'll spin the plate, another stick, spin a plate. As they go on, the plate that they first started starts wobbling. So they have to go back and touch it to keep it spinning. And that's what our ask here today is, that before that plate falls, we want to just touch it so that it keeps spinning. Can we do that? Yes? All right. So our reputation precedes us. When we go anywhere and we say we are Josh Jenners, we are known as, just by the fact that we are part of Josh Jen, that we are hospitable people. Have you experienced that? Yeah? So that's the reputation that precedes us. The reality is, just based on what I said now, that not entirely be true completely all the time. And for us, that particular thing was birthed out of biblical revelation. It wasn't something that somebody just, Andrew or whoever, is like, oh, let's be hospitable today. And from yon forth. It was something that we saw the early church model, but also something we saw way before then, right? Right through the scriptures, from the beginning to where we find ourselves now, that this is something that was practiced by the people of God. And it's something that, because it's theologically sound, something we feel, we want to give our hearts to. So we need to consider that reputation that is based on the theology, sound, good, biblical theology. And then we need to spin the plate and make that our reality again. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, awesome. So What is hospitality? I'll ask again, why hospitality? But what is hospitality? That's a question. Opening our homes. Any other versions? Any other options? Any other ways of being hospitable? Oh, I love that. I love that. I wish I had it as part of my scripture, though, but it's not. But thank you for that. Opening our hearts. That one is what I want us to actually focus on. So thank you very much. And the reason I was doing that is just like, it's in us. We know it. We've heard it. We've actually expressed it. All right? But sometimes it's always in the actions that we think being hospitable is. But it's out of that place of heart. And it's actually reflecting God's heart. God's heart. It's our heart reflecting His heart towards those that He's called into family that we are actually trying to express by doing acts of hospitality. Oh, hospitality. All right. So it's us being invited into not only here as family, but into God's family. Right, so I'd like to explore only four ways that we possibly can look at hospitality, both from God's eyes, and then also how we can practically apply those. All right, so only four. It's not going to be long, and hopefully, as I back it by Scripture, it will be again like those seeds that are sown and will find good soil, and will bear fruit in and amongst us. All right. So the first thing is, you'll find it in Matthew 25, verse 35, where it says, "For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home." This is Jesus saying, and the whole thing goes like, "But Lord, where was I, this person?" Right? And later on, we'll go with that. Verse 40 says, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." All right, so the first thing, hospitality, is we're doing it for Jesus. So we're not doing it because Rian, the elders, or again, Andrew, or those that are over us in terms of 412 has asked it. It's actually, we're doing it for Jesus. He's the one that said. I mean, what better way to actually describe that? It's for me. That's what he says. All right. So when we open up our homes to strangers, it's for Jesus himself. And later on, I've got a thing, but I'm going to say it now, that sometimes we use the word, it's as if it were Jesus. I don't see that in Scripture. It is Jesus. That's what he says. Right, so in Ephesians 2, we read in verse 11 to 13. I'll read that for us from here. It should be on the board. Yeah. "Don't forget that you Gentiles," that was, we fall under that, right, "used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision, and even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you and I were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ." Rian read something similar earlier, right? So we're seeing that thread pull through, and it's, we were strangers, and the thing that kept us apart from Him was, yes, we didn't maybe know Him, but also sin. The sin kept us away from Him, but because of Jesus' blood that came to cleanse us and the sacrifice that He's made, we are able to be called part of His household. All right. So the important here is that, yes, Jesus made a sacrifice. It was because God wanted us back into His family, right? But He didn't just think about this from family point of view. Sometimes There's a cousin. I don't have brothers or sisters in natural form, so I'm using cousin. But you may have a different family member, and you're just tolerating them because they're blood. But the beauty of this is that when you read that scripture, God didn't and he isn't just tolerating us. He's not. He's actually gave everything so that we can be a part of his family. And that's what we've been walking in. That's what you can walk into if you don't know him today. But that's what we are promised. So very importantly for us, how does this apply to us? That's God's example. But how does this apply to us? So we don't have a 412 conference coming up now, right? Not anytime soon. Not here anyway, unless you're going overseas. Yeah. But when conferences and gatherings come and we say, hey, please, we need people to register for hosting. It's like, put up your hand. Register. First step. Don't worry about anything else. It's just willing hearts. That's the first thing. Yesterday we had a time with the leaders and willingness. Are you willing? And that's for each of us. Are you willing? And let it start from there. And very importantly is that, did I move too far? Sorry. No. Okay. That we are actually serving Jesus. That he's the one that, if you look at scripture, he identifies with each person that we are hosting, saint, that we are opening our house to. That it's him that we are serving and not actually only the person. So to consider that, our act of service, but also our act of worship to him. All right. The second point, and I'll lead into it now, is that if you listen to that introduction about hospitality is our reputation. So reputation only takes you that far. We actually need to show it in action. And there are practical ways in which we can do it. Very practical ways. That verse I just read now in Matthew. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. Very practical things that we can do while we are here. We don't have to wait for a conference to do something like that. We started it up. We 2 weeks ago, two families opened up their homes and we were able to go and bring and share and be in their space to do so. Whether you have or you don't have to add, the idea is not about the food. It's actually about us connecting one with another in the family that God has placed us in so that nobody feels left out because that is his intent and it should be ours as well. Yeah? So Mark 9:41 says, if anyone gives you even a cup of water because you belong to the Messiah, to Jesus, I tell you the truth, that person will surely be rewarded. So that's for us, those who are giving the cup of water, so to speak. Not the feast. Not lavish anything. A cup of water because they belong to him. We will receive our reward. And that's what Jesus tells us. So we heard about it in the prayer time and those that were with us. And even now earlier, Rian was talking about it. But God gave us something that we could never, ever. If you think about his hospitality, how he brought us in, he gave us something that we could never repay, that we could never do on our own, and it's his salvation. He's given us that, and he gave it through his son, Jesus Christ. So not only did he give us the eternal gift of salvation, he actually sacrificed his son, Jesus, so that we could have that with him. So the only one that he had, the Bible says, he's one and only begotten son. He didn't have another. We are now sons and daughters. We are heirs, yes. But then, it's one and only. So he gave everything so that we could have eternity and spend it with him. What kind of host is that? Hey? I lay everything before you. That's what he did. So, when we look at us, and now again, the example, God's example and our example and our hosting is not, what does it look like? It's what does it require of us? We said earlier, it's the heart and the posture that we have when we are hosting. It's that. is that think about when you when we have our gatherings and new saints become a part of us, there's something that we say. 1, 2, 3. Sure, that's very few of us. I hope you heard that, right? Like it's just. But I used that once. We had some young people over, and somebody went into our fridge and felt freedom to do that when I was around. And then when Lizette poked into the area, they're like, oh. I was like, you shouldn't feel any kind of way. The thing is, what is ours is yours. But the reality about the fridge is what I said after that was, your fridge is kind of an example of either opulence or lack. Think about it. So that fridge is bursting at the seams. It's like it was either payday or you are well off. Look, I see the smile. Hey, we don't do this as part of our thing, but just think about it. My fridge is your fridge. If somebody had to walk into your house right now and open your fridge. No, that's it. Yeah, you see. So you'd either be, yes, please, my fridge is your fridge, right? Because there's a lot, it's like falling out. Or it's like, no, let me get it for you. Right? So, but it's a vulnerability that comes to it, is that like everything that is mine is yours. It's not about actually what I have. It's that small act, the cup of water, for those who are loved and owned by Jesus. All right? So it's really about that. We had, a couple of years ago, it was, and I hope I don't get too many boos for this, but the first time we had to go overseas, Lizette and I, together, we had to change our dates, and it just so happened that it was over the 4-12 conference time. I prompted you for that, and you didn't take it. It's like, all right. And what had happened was before we changed our dates, we really wanted to host. That was the first year. We were always a bit skittish about it, like having people in our space and like that we don't know, let me put it that way. And we then said, we really want to host. We registered and everything, and now we planned our trip over the same time that the conference is. Big mistake, right? Please don't do that. All right. Bit of vindication for me. We still felt we wanted to host. So we spoke to Alder, one of our deacons here. Are you in the house, Alder? Okay, as usual today. Spoke to Alda and we asked her, hey, we'd love to host. Would you, because we then changed it to ladies, right? And would you be the host for our conference visitors? And Alda said, yes, she'd love to do it. We told her, all you have to do is actually just open up the house. Like you don't have to do anything. The idea is the fridge will be stocked. See, good time of the month. Stocked. Fridge is stocked. There's electricity, there's units, there's everything. It's fine. All we need you to do is just be the host. Couple of years on, we go to Swellendam on outreach. And these young ladies that we never met before, right? Never, ever, they came running to Lizette, expressing just the gratitude, the love that they felt. We weren't there. Yes, because of Alda and so on, but they've never experienced it that somebody would open up their home that's not there, where it's not an Airbnb or something like that. They've never experienced that before, and for them, it was a life-changing moment, so much so that it changed the way they viewed family. So while we weren't able to host them physically ourselves or in person, we were able to actually share what God has placed in our care with those in His kingdom. All right? So yes, we got away from hosting, but we didn't. Because you don't know what people are going to do in your house when you're not there, right? They were beautiful guests. They were beautiful. So firstly, don't overcomplicate it. We can find many reasons why we can't host or be hospitable. Can't have people in our space. There are many, many reasons. But I want to ask you to think about the one reason. It's Jesus. That should outweigh all the other things that we possibly could make up or conjure up to try and not do it. Yeah? Very importantly, host within your means. Like, when you're having people over, even if it's for a meal, just whatever you're having. So sometimes they are, like, in terms of just what they can eat and can't eat, like me, for instance, right now. I love fatty foods, but I can't have them for health reasons. So when you're having me over, maybe just the lentil stew. All right. So I'm easy. Like, it's easy. It's not about the food. But the idea is whatever you have in your house. I've made this joke before. I said, if we're having crackers tonight, that's what you're having. All right? Simple. That's what you're having. It's not about the food. All right? So very importantly, within your means, a simple meal, your couch. We've said this before. You know what? The person coming is just thankful to be with God's people. With God's people. Not even about the roof over my head. Thankful to be with God's people. So if you have a couch, either take it or give it to them. You know, it's not about that. So really, there are ways and means around it. We all have people that we know that are avid campers. You can get a stretcher. You can get a mattress somewhere. Something. There are ways we can do these things. All right. So don't let these be hindrances to actually sharing God's love in how we do it. So practical generosity reflects God's practical provision for us. He's already given you everything that you need to be hospitable with. In that scripture of Matthew, it says it's done for the least of these. So 25 verse 40 says, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me. But further on in 1 Peter, and then when Rian started reading 1 Peter, was like, you're reading my scripture. So, but it wasn't that one. but it would have been such a confirmation. But the same thing speaks to it. 1 Peter 4, 8 and 9 says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sin. Next verse is, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Excuse me. Hospitality would have been somebody ran to give me something. So, and I'm not going to say this, right? The thing is that hospitality, in the context of what we're talking about, is not just our friends or those that, not just friends, but those that we are acquainted to, those that we can possibly reciprocate what we're doing. It's not about you give me, I give you type thing. It's not that. It's actually to the least of these. That's what that scripture says. So if you think about it, it's the stranger. It's the person that's lonely. It's the person that is unknown to you. And that's who we are called to invite in. So in and amongst us, there may be one or two people right here that you don't know. So our encouragement has been, and the reason why we're doing the open homes is so that people can feel the freedom to actually connect with one another and find godly family. That is what we're doing. So that strangers are no longer just strangers, but they are family. Not friends, they are family. Because that is what God has called us to. He's invited us into his kingdom. And if you look at John 15, it says, this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. So if you look at the previous scriptures, I read about how God loved us. That is what he's asking us to do. So his was sacrificial love. Should ours be any less? Because that's the example. But all I'm speaking to us about is not actually sacrificing right now. It's actually just sharing what we have. All right. So we had biblical hospitality. There's a Greek word for it. Not going to say it. It's actually loving strangers. Hospitality. Bible, loving strangers. So if I'm only loving my family, or only loving my circle of friends, how am I expressing God's love? How am I expressing God's hospitality? That's a question for myself. It's a question you can ask yourself. And are there areas, as I'm speaking, that you feel, okay, hey, here and there, maybe not falling short, but hey, it's an area for growth. Not negative, positive. Yeah? Because God gives us these opportunities, the 412, the gatherings, the family that we find ourselves in. There are opportunities daily for us to express His hospitality and love to others. So these are a few of it. You can think of others as well. We had the pleasure that last year we went overseas for outreach, and people opened up their homes to us. We lived with different families, not the same family. So you get to know people, and then you move on, you get to know people. But what is so beautiful is that God knitted our hearts so, so closely with those people. That we aren't, it's not friends, it's family. That our family became their family and their family. And even our girls received gifts and notes, and they didn't meet them. But because of what it is that they've experienced through us and through God in us, they felt, hey, let us love on your kids. So it's beautiful, those notes that were very personal because they had prayed upon it, of what it is that they felt God wants to say. And then out of that, we were supposed to meet with a couple. We had them over here in church with us, but we had them here for a week. Now, I don't remember much of this week because my incident that I had over the time. And the beauty of it is that even though I don't remember, my heart and Johan, Johan and Cindy were the couple that were here, from the Netherlands. We were supposed to meet with them, and we didn't have the time to meet with them when we were there. They flew down, and before they flew down, he reached out. He's like, hey, we're coming down to South Africa. We'd like to have a place to stay. Do you know of anywhere? And without batting an eye, we said, you can come and stay with us. He wasn't sure that I knew what I was getting myself into, because then I didn't know that, or fully understand, the size of their family. A beautiful family, the two of them and four girls, right? So we have a very modest house. So yeah, them and four, so six of them, yeah. Sorry, my wife was just correcting my numbers. So the beauty of it is that our family, we gave up our family, not just myself and Lizette, our family. We gave up the area, our sleeping area of the house, to that family. And they had a place to rest over the time that they were here. Never experienced anything like that before. They normally with family or friends, and they'd go on holidays, but this was their first where they actually had to receive in that way. And Lizette tells me, again, I don't have any recollection of this, our conversations, Johan and mine, and I can understand by what I'm hearing from her why there's such a connection, even though I don't remember it. There's a connection that can't be explained. We sat early hours of the morning until late of night, speaking on things both as husbands, fathers, but also as men of God. And he came to do something that only he can do. That there's a, not a friendship, a brotherhood, a brotherly bond that was done or created as a result of it. And every other, these were just two of the ones that we can share. We've opened up our home different ways to different people over the years, and we've always been blessed. We thought we were blessing, but we've always been blessed when we walked away from it. So that's our encouragement to you. Look beyond your comfort zones, your little nook that you've created for you. This is my space. The truth is, it's not ours. It's not ours. It's His, and it's for His glory. And if it's not, I'm hoping today you will make that decision that it is. Invite somebody new into your home, into your space. Have them over for a meal. You know, have a conversation. That's hospitality. Listen to someone's story. It doesn't have to be complicated. Don't overcomplicate it. All right? You'll find that actually as much as you want to be a blessing, that they will bless you. And ultimately, God will reward you. All right? So, I spoke about reward, and now you're probably thinking, okay, what's that going to look like? You know what? I don't know. I don't know what that's going to look like for you, but what I do know is that the reward is eternal. It's eternal. That's what his word says. It says, Matthew 25, 34 says, come, you who were blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. Other versions, since before. Other version, out of the foundation of the world. Yeah? He's been planning it for us way before we were even here. But he knew what he was doing for us. Jesus says in his word, he says, John 14 says, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. His invitation was not temporary. It wasn't on a whim. It was something that was planned way before time. His invitation was there for us. It's eternal. That's the promise. That's the reward that we have, and something that we can rejoice in. And remember what I said earlier. If you give a cup of water to those that belong to the Messiah, that reward is yours. Hey? That's beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. All right, so Jesus prepared a place for us. And the reality is that as we receive the gift of salvation, we are no longer strangers. Right? We're actually transformed into heirs. I said that earlier. Heirs with Jesus. Heirs with Jesus. And eternity with him and with God. And that's such a beautiful picture that we have to look forward to. So it might not be immediate rewards that you see. Right? It might be. You may get immediate. But that's not why we're doing it. We're doing it because it's Jesus. And he's already given us everything. Yeah? So when you open up your home for anything, opening up your hearts, opening up your resources, please remember, it's not for the person, it's not for us, it's not Josh Jen, it's for Jesus. I think very importantly, that hospitality, our hospitality, should mirror God's hospitality. So when you look at what he says in Scripture he does, and you look at what I do, it should look the same. Not in terms of deed, in terms of heart. What is my heart's posture towards this? Is it for him? So welcome others into your house. Act practically. Don't only let our hospitality be lip service. Practically, do the things that actually are hospitable. No, thank you. I don't want that. Focusing on the least of these, right? Not those that are prominent, not those that have any type of stature, the least of these. And together with those that are prominent, together with whoever, you can actually bring everybody into family. Because we want everybody to experience the love, the grace, the compassion, and the mercy that he has extended to each of us. Yes? Yeah. Invest in eternity. So like I said at the beginning, I said this is something that we've realized. I didn't want to use the term because, you know, these buff guys out here, it's like it's a muscle that hasn't been exercised. So let's start exercising that muscle. Before, actually, it's no longer, it's atrophied and it doesn't actually. I said, spin the plates. That's what I used instead. I said, if that plate in your space has fallen down, right, replace it, start spinning. If it's starting to wobble, give it the attention. While you're doing everything else, don't forget everything else, but while you're doing everything else, tap it, spin it, right, so that the life of God continues. But very importantly, don't stop with hosting. Because like I said, the opportunities for hosting don't come around all the time. Open up your homes. Open up your heart. Open up your family. so that others who don't have, the lonely, those who are on the fringes, can experience love and family too. Yeah? I think as God welcomed us into his family, we want us to welcome others in as well. In John 15, and this is my last scripture, John 13, sorry, says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. How? Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. How do we express love? Just by saying it? No. If you've ever expressed love, it was actually an action. So our call today is that would be our heart. As a people, we serve the one true God that has given everything for us, that we would find his heart and our hearts would be shifted and molded into that same example for others. So today, you may be at either, I'm doing it, I'm like hospitable, right? Or you may be, actually, I've let that plate start to wobble. There's an opportunity for you to come. It's like, hey, Lord, how can I still, I don't want to take pride in what I've been doing because it's for you. So you may have been doing it, but it wasn't actually for him. It was because you were told to or something that you saw exampled. Like, Lord, I want to make this for you. Could be wobbling because you were, it's becoming too much. How can I do this? It's more, it's more, it's more. Remember what I said. It's when you're having somebody over, Ian said this before. We all have to eat, right? Yeah? You've been here for a while, unless you're new today. Sorry, apologies for you. But those that have been here for a while, we've said this more than once. We all have to eat, right? Yes. So then why not have somebody over to come and eat with you? Simple. It's not a big ask. It really isn't. You've got water? Anyway, so the ask here is not impossible, firstly. We want to make it very practical, very easy. It mustn't be burdensome. But you know what? If it seems like a burden, am I doing it for Jesus? Am I doing it for him? Have I lost that view, that love for him and the fact that it's actually him that I'm serving? And how do I get that back? So there's an opportunity right now. If you're feeling in that way, in any way, it's like, actually, I've been working out of my own steam, not for him, or actually, you know what, it's become too much, I'm struggling, I made it too much what it is. It's like, this is an opportunity for you to respond, let us pray for you. We want to do that this morning. It's like, it's for time. We're family, we're honest, so it's an opportunity. You're welcome to respond, you can stand, you're welcome to come to the front, we'll pray with you. There's also a part here, and I spoke on my second point. The salvation that comes through Jesus' blood. And you're like, I've heard about Jesus. I know about God. But I've never actually accepted him as Lord and personal Savior. So you might be here. So if I can ask, maybe just everybody, take your eyes off me. Let's focus on God. Maybe close your eyes. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord, and you don't know what this is like, you heard it today, you've heard it in different ways, but like, yo, I want to be part of your family, Jesus. I want to be part of your family, God. Would you put up your hand? Thank you. Sean, are you going around? Thanks. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to pray for us. So Father, I thank you that this morning we know you and you know us. that we are no longer strangers. Oh, Father, like there's so many different ways that we can possibly see this, but the one way we want to see it is that you have called us and you've exampled it to us in a way that we, it's so simple. Jesus spent time with tax collectors and notorious sinners, the word says. He ate with them, and those that were religious scoffed at him, and they were actually very disgruntled by it. But Father, you've called us and you've exampled that to us. And we ask, Lord, that this morning where we've been doing this in our own strength, that you would come by your Spirit and you'd reveal to us a heart that is postured towards you, Jesus. And that, Lord, where it's again started to wobble, this plate, and we haven't been giving it attention, that, Lord, that you would come and reignite in us that desire and that fire and that purpose to serve and love your bride. We ask, Father, that you'd come and do, Father, something in our hearts that only you can do. And that as we do this, that, Lord, that we would not only experience more love and mercy from you, but others that we are experiencing, those that are strangers, those who are on the fringes, Father, would come into the wholeness and the fullness of the family that God has for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.